I'd never considered surviving the Raysand Channel. I hadn't planned that far ahead. But now I really was entering the unknown, the River Crouch. In these parts, Mulden, that is, the Crouch and its tribes are greatly feared, as much for their dress sense as anything else. As I rounded the mythical yellow boy that turned out to be there after all, I swear Marlin shuddered, just momentarily, at the strange new taste of this strange old river that was new to us. This was the prize. 6 hours before, we, that's Marlin and me, had departed Bradwell and left behind the familiar waters of the Blackwater, where we've played together on chuckling wavelets through many happy summers. Now we'd crossed over into a new world. We'd made it. Perhaps I should have felt triumph, but I didn't. I felt sad and a little lost. I hoped I hadn't betrayed the river I love by leaving. Had I broken the bond? This was the wardrobe door to another kingdom, but was it Narnia, Valhalla, or Hades? And was there any way back? I pushed the helm hard over and headed for my destiny, thrusting my jaw to the horizon so the rain dripping off my chin fell outside my oilies. I felt like Captain Kirk. Crouch, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Sailfish Marlin. It's 10-day mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before. But, for now, here I was, sailing in the wake of history. Columbus, Magellan, and Drake. He's the one I relate to most, because I felt like a duck, as the monotonous, thrumming rain drummed on Marlin's cabin top, dampening the soul and deadening the world in a misty veil. It was round about now that I regretted not updating my charts, because sometime over the last 10 years the Admiralty must have discovered that the River Crouch is actually longer than the Amazon, and no one had bothered to tell me. There was no going back. But there wasn't much going forward either. As rivers go, the Crouch seems curiously unsuited to sailing. It's as straight as a runway at a US Air Force bomber base, and that means you get two types of wind, either funneling straight up or straight down. If you're heading up river, the wind's heading down, and vice versa. That's not just a general rule, it's the law. That's why people from Burnham have such sharp noses and jutting chins, this river's character building. But I was in luck. I had both wind and tide against me. I wasn't going anywhere, but it could have been worse if I'd had tide against wind. Then I'd still be getting nowhere, but it would be a million times more uncomfortable with vicious standing waves jostling and slamming into us. If you've ridden one of those mechanical bucking broncos, well, it's nothing like that at all. But if you've ridden a bucking bronco in a three-legged washing machine shared with 5 house bricks and no water softener on a cold rinse cycle, then you'll have the beginnings of a glimmer of understanding. Another big plus was that the Ministry of Defence on Foulness Island hadn't got my range yet, as distant pops dissipated into harmless puffs overhead. Or perhaps they were just smoke signals sent by local tribes. Anyone else might by now be getting the feeling that they weren't welcome, but I'm used to it. It happens virtually everywhere I go. I was also getting very familiar with the boys as my mighty 3.3 horsepower Mercury buzzed flat out while the boys stayed exactly where they were. For fun, I counted the rivets, but if I'd had sandpaper and paint, I could have given them a makeover as I crawled by. By the time I reached the inner crouch, I was kneeling, sapped, soaked and sagging. Still with 3 miles to go. There wasn't even anyone to wave at and act all jaunty, as if to say, "Look at me in my little boat, aren't I intrepid?" I'm no great lip reader, but normally people mouth back a word that looks like prat, or possibly twit. Foreigners, I guess. I wonder what it means in English. Those miles took an eternity until the hamlet of Burnham appeared off to starboard through the veil of rain. You need your wits about you on this stretch, as it's littered with hundreds of obstacles, boats to be precise. The pilot guide explained that although the inhabitants of Burnham no longer eat people, they remain extremely superstitious. Apparently, hundreds of years ago, they also developed an irrational fear of water, and now their boats are tethered permanently in ranks across the river to deter anthropologists from Morden and other outsiders. What they hadn't figured on was something as small and deft as Marlin, and we just about wriggled through. I made it, and as I stood there in my own puddle in the immigration office at Burnham Marina, holding out a wilting, sodden £20 note as a sign I came in peace, the manager asked where I'd come from. Proudly, I pronounced Bradwell very slowly and very clearly, in case he'd never heard the word before. But it turned out he had. Not far then, he said. His grasp of English wasn't bad, but I doubted whether he was much of a sailor. Didn't he realise it was a record passage? Never before had a sailfish, or any other boat for that matter, taken so long to cover so little distance. That's an achievement.